Hey, Panther fans, go on, take a seat. You're listening to The Professor and the Preacher, brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. This is another episode of The Professor and the Preacher, and this week's lesson is lesson number 7. And I'm here to ask, are boneless wings chicken wings? Now I'm going to do it here with my buddy, the preacher, David Locklear. What's up, my man?
Same stuff, different Friday, the 13th. Yep.
Is it? Oh, it is a Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Look, you want to go watch the M. Night Shyamalan movie?
He's got a new one. He got a new one out.
You know what? I saw that, and when I saw the previews, I was like, I know somewhere Tony is having, in the back of his mind, he's like, oh, man, not again.
I'm on some Yelp, on some movie review, being the one guy that's like writing bad reviews before the movies come out.
Right. I mean, like, ain't in this one, ain't it something like the dude's got like a split personality?
I don't know.
Something like that.
I don't know, and I don't care, because his mess is terrible, and we talked about that plenty. But look. I got it. Here, you tell me. I'm very firm on this question. Are boneless wings really chicken wings?
I might go with a no. They're just boneless chicken.
They are. Yeah, they are not chicken wings. The reason we're asking this question tonight is because the former Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator Sean McDermott is now the head coach of the home of the Buffalo Wing, the Buffalo Bills, where the Buffalo Wing was invented. He was not. Had he been hired yet when we talked last?
No. When we talked last week, he had not. It was still a possibility that he would end up in a multitude of places.
Okay, so he was still just interviewing to be head coach. All right, McDermott to the Bills. You know, you're happy. It's usually a good thing when you see players from your coaching tree go spread their wings and go out. McDermott leaving, Steve Wilks stepping up as the Panthers' defensive coordinator. Who's going to have the easier transition, do you believe, David?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Wilks. And the reason why I'm going to have to go with Wilks is because he has the most talent. You know, if you look at that roster front to back, he has the most talent. And they all know him. You know, the flip side of that is you're looking at McDermott's going to Buffalo. He's got Marcell Dareus, who, you know, Bart Scott ripped and said, you know, this guy, you know, didn't even buy into Rex Ryan. Now, granted, you know, Sean McDermott's a different coach than, you know, than Rex Ryan. But the problem with that is you got Jerry Hughes, you know, but you won't have Stephon Gilmore next week, more than likely. So you won't have him. So not having him, that leaves you with the guy that sucker punched Geno Smith. Ikem Polly.
What's his name again?
I think it's Ikem Polly is how you say it.
Oh, that's right, because Rex brought him in. Yeah. E-N-E-M-K Polly. So here, you know, one thing, I think do you think this was a good place for Sean McDermott to go?
I'm not necessarily sure it was a good place for him to go, but I think this might be a situation where he took a job for the sake of having a job, which if that's the case, I feel for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's always an opportunity. I mean, it seems hard to think that somebody could pass up on a head coaching position, right? Is that if you're a coordinator, I mean, it seems weird that I don't think you can turn down the job if it's offered to you, unless you have multiple offers. I think this is actually a great place for McDermott because, you know, Rex Ryan was thought to going to be stepping into the Buffalo Bills, and because he was a defensive guy and they had a lot of defensive talent, that it seemed like it was going to be a surefire thing for the defense. The only question was, could they muster any offense? And it didn't turn out that way. The offense stunk, as all Rex Ryan offenses do, but the defense never produced to the level that people expected it to. And like you said, was it Marcel Darius?
Yeah.
You know, guys, you think about this. What has happened in the last 2 years is you have guys like him not buying in, also Mario Williams going from a really having kind of a last-minute renaissance in his career to being on the outs, frustrated, and then basically he lost that last year because he went to Miami. He's been cut. So you think I think here is they're going to go back to a 4-3 defense, and McDermott's kind of the back-to-basics guy that's get after the quarterback and then disrupt, and cause turnovers. I think that could work for Buffalo. The problem is New England's in their division.
Yeah, I mean, but this is the thing. If the Pegulas let McDermott do his thing, Tom Brady's days are numbered.
I like that.
Because if the Pegulas let him do his thing, this is going to be a wrap. I mean, it's going to be over because they're going to break Tom Brady in half. It's that simple. If he's allowed to, you know, build a roster that's comparable to what he wants, what he needs to be successful.
I think, too, what you get with McDermott that is – what the Bills need is this. Here's the problem with the Bills. No matter how good their roster is, how terrible it is, who the coach is to this point, Rex Ryan almost was able to overcome this, is that there's a natural intimidation of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. You know, is that it's like you have zero shot, but McDermott has mustered a defense that's frustrated the New England Patriots before. He has he's punched them in their mouth on a Monday night game. Not that he did it, the players did it, but still, I think that kind of there's a confidence he has, or at least there, he's not intimidated enough to where he's scared of the Patriots. And that might be enough right there to kind of rally some support and rally a little excitement in Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think if he could take that team and go 8-8 next year, I think that excitement
it would be enough.
Right.
The problem with the Bills is they are an antsy team because they've had so much so many challenges and obstacles. They've been through like 3 coaches in 9 years.
Has it been 3? Yeah, I guess it has been.
I mean, they get a new coach every. I mean, Rex Ryan was their coach for 2 years. I thought that was a bad hire in the first place. But, especially you got to give, at least with a Ryan, especially Rex, or with any guy who has been a high-profile head coach in a high-profile market, and then you go and you leave and you go, you can't go directly to another team. They need a moment for their name
to forget you.
Yes, just a year at the very minimum. And that's what Rex Ryan didn't get.
Yeah, you know, he could have went, you could have went to, radio, you know, did radio or TV for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because here was something that I found interesting this time around, and it almost makes me want to ask what exactly was it that he wanted, but there was real consideration for John Gruden.
What, for the Buffalo job?
I think it was for the L.A. job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
now,
for the Rams.
I was about to say, don't be a smart aleck and ask me which L.A. Oh. Which, by the way, did you see those fools' logo?
Is it plain yellow?
No. It was, they came out with a logo, and I kid you not, for those of y'all that did not see it, because I think they've since changed it, their initial logo when they said they were going to move from San Diego to LA.
Oh, is it the L and the A that's like the Dodger logo with
with a Charger tail on the A.
It kind of almost looks like it says 4A too. Like the number 4A.
Yeah.
That's not a good logo.
Yeah. Just like you paid somebody to do this?
Yeah, I would have done that for like $45.
Yeah. Since we in the business of taking folks, I mean, come on.
You know, as a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of weirdness going on with the what is. First of all, I think West Coast people in football are weird. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that. Like, I know that everybody, one of my best buds, Mel Mayock, is a Las Vegas guy, and he loves West Coast football because they get to watch, like, eat breakfast and watch the 1 o'clock games. I can't understand it, but I think there's some fickleness on that West Coast, man. Like, these teams, if you didn't have the legacy of the San Francisco 49ers, I would almost think that all football could be dead in California by this point. They are the worst. Like, it's a mess. It doesn't even make sense. Now, I've never been to L.A. I don't know what this and that. But they don't even care about getting devoted fans. It's really weird.
No. Because here's the thing. Here's the true bare knuckles, down to the bones fact of the matter about L.A.
Bones.
If you ain't the
Buffalo Wings
Lakers, yeah, stop being difficult. But if you're not the Los Angeles Lakers, L.A. don't care about you.
True that.
That ain't what L.A. is there for. The only thing L.A. ever had that they actually cared about other than the Lakers was the Raiders.
And that's so long ago. That's so long ago. We don't even know if they really would anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. I don't think they would have. And I'll give Mike Davis this much credit. He realized they didn't. He realized going to Mississippi. Here's the thing. Stan Kroenke don't care because that team's going to make money regardless. So he don't care. Now, Dean Spanos, I don't know what that fool thinking. Because first of all, I ain't about to move my team out of my own deed. To go be a second rate lackey in your thing, and I think that the NFL should have a rule. This is just me. The NFL should have a rule. If the owners vote for you to relocate, you have to stay in the place. Kate, you are bound to that city for 30 years.
it seems like the NFL is supporting all of the this movement at the moment, though.
Yeah, because the NFL, for some reason, they want that Hollywood, they want that market. And they don't realize that
that's the least valuable market for football.
Right, they don't. Right, they're not going to sustain a physical team there. That is a TV market. That's all it is. It's not an in-person market.
Yeah.
But they're treating it like it's such.
Yeah, it's an odd thing. All right, so we got to get back to our boneless wings, chicken wings. The professor's got a way.
No!
I got to weigh in on this. 1964, Teresa Mama Bellissimo is the one who invented the buffalo wing. I've heard two stories about this.
Wait. Who?
Her name was Mama Bellissimo.
She's
an Italian lady that is the woman that invented the chicken wing.
Hey, Tony.
Yo.
Has your wife ever told you that you have entirely too much time on your hands?
not at all, man. I'm proud of this. I Googled this up and I Googled also our boneless chicken wings, and I gotta say this, all the discussions on the internet right now, the top discussions are the weakest ass discussions when it comes to anything. I'm gonna answer the question for all y'all tonight though, and I'm gonna solve this. But Mama Bellissimo, she's the one that invented the buffalo wing. There's two stories that go along with the buffalo wing. One was that her son and his friends came back and she wanted to make them some food, and she made them fry, and she had chicken wings, and she fried up some chicken wings, put hot sauce on them for them. Another one was that she ordered neck bones, chicken necks. And they brought her the wrong thing, and that she had to do something with them, and she fried them and dipped them and made sauce for them, and that was it. Either way, Mama Bellissimo started something that's very near and dear to me. I love a dang chicken wing. It's like one of my top favorite foods. And I gotta say this.
Wait, I got a question.
Yo.
Because I gotta ask this question. You a drumlet guy or a flats guy?
I'm a flat.
Tony, I'm going to need you to do better in life there, buddy.
Nope. I got it, man, because a flat has more meat on it if you know how to clean it. I can clean a flat like a toothpick. Anyway, I'm telling you. I tell you one thing. Suck it right on off, and it'll be like clean. I'm telling you. Pro chicken wing eater here. The drums, or what are they? Those things. Those are for people that are, they're not versed in the flat. But if you got to the flat, the meat is tender. It's better. Anyway, bone in. There is no such thing as a chicken wing that doesn't have bones in it. No such thing.
Exactly.
There is no boneless chicken in the world. Second, anything that any boneless, what they describe as boneless wing, is really just breast meat that has been battered and fried. Now, I got to ask you, David, do you like your wings? Do you prefer them to be battered, or what we call here in North Carolina naked, which are just skin fried, dipped in sauce?
For me, it comes down to, for me, it's got to be, it all depends. Like, if it's going to be, it depends on the sauce. Now, up here in Cincinnati, they have this place that have the lemon pepper wings.
Right.
And those have to be naked. They okay. have to be naked, just so you can, I don't know how to explain it without almost sounding pornographic. but I'm just saying, they have to be naked. Now, if you're going with a barbecue, a buffalo, a habanero, now that's got to be breaded.
Okay.
For me.
I'm a naked guy all the way, and that sounds funny coming out of my mouth, but You fry it hard.
Hey, does nobody know you're a streaker?
That's right. You fry it hard. You get them nice and crispy. And then you put the sauce on them and you eat them before they get soggy. Like, that's the way to do it. But here's the thing. Is there a skin on a chicken wing? Skin. That's the part that's bad, really bad for you, that makes a chicken wing beautiful. And a boneless chicken wing ain't got no skin.
This is true.
So another piece of evidence. My last question to you on the wing front is this. Are you a ranch or blue cheese guy?
I had to go with ranch only because I don't like the texture of blue cheese. Like, it's just not appealing to me.
I'm a blue cheese guy.
Like, if I dip, but see, that's the thing. Like, I hardly ever actually dip my wings.
Ah, okay. I agree. Like, you know, it's kind of like a steak almost sometimes. Is that I always, if you got to use steak sauce with your steak, it's not a good steak. So I get the non-dipping for a chicken wing. But, you know, when I was young, I was a ranch guy. And now I'm a blue cheese guy. So I guess that just comes, you know, like it's an acquired taste. Best thing is my kids, they like a little ranch with their pizza because we're from the South. And they dip their little pizza in the ranch. And by accident one night, I gave my son blue cheese. And it was glorious. He was a wreck.
Yeah, that sounded like that might have been. Like that might have been.
It snuck up on him. All right, so let's talk about the Carolina Panthers for another moment, and then we'll close this down in just a second. Steve Wilkes is going to become... Oh, I forgot to mention Leslie Frazier, defensive coordinator under Sean McDermott.
You know, I think that's a good hire. I really do, because you figure McDermott's a first time head coach. Leslie's been a head coach and had, you know, some success at points, but ultimately failed. But that gives you that second head coach, you know, that second head coaching experience on that staff.
I agree.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, who McDermott reaches out to fill other key spots. You know, I don't know if he said who his offensive coordinator is going to be.
They have not announced it yet. A couple of names.
Yeah, and that's go ahead.
Couple of names in this. I had a story pulled up let me see if I can get it real quick. It was offensive coordinator candidates because Mike McCoy was the top name, but he got hired for the Broncos. Right now, these are names from Bill's fan sites, similar, you know, Bill Musgrave, Deuce Staley.
Bill Musgrave's not going. He's in Denver.
Deuce Staley.
Keep an eye on Deuce Staley. They would know. They knew each other from Philadelphia.
The old running back. That's awesome. I hope he gets a job. That's cool.
Yo.
Matt Nagy. I don't know who Matt Nagy.
Never heard of him.
He has respect.
He used to be. Oh wait, he was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco for a while, I think. He was on it at some point. He's been in Kansas City.
He's been a quarterbacks coach in Kansas City. He's a Reed guy.
Yeah, but I think before that, I think he was somewhere, or he was mentioned for a job somewhere a few years ago.
Okay. Brad Childress, a lot of names that are coming around are links through McDermott to Frazier, Frazier's connections via the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, no, here's the thing. Childress got the job in Minnesota he was the OC under Reed in Philadelphia.
That's right. Yep.
When McDermott was there with Rivera under Johnson.
Okay, so he replaced Childress Frazier. Is that true? Childress hired Frazier as defensive coordinator, and then he replaced.
They fired Childress. He was the interim, and they took the interim off of him.
Got it.
Which I don't know why teams do that. Like literally, I've yet to know a situation where interim became the head and it was actually successful.
I agree with you. The closest I can think of is Dirk Cutter in Tampa, but I don't think he was interim. I think they just hired.
No, they fired Lovey and promoted him.
Yeah, so it was at the end of the season. Scott Turner.
Yeah, it was an off season.
Scott Turner, Norv Turner's son, is another name, and Ken Dorsey and Chip Kelly. Ken Dorsey ain't going to be. If McDermott brings Ken Dorsey in, I will have lesser feelings about Sean McDermott.
Hey. Why you jinxing it, man?
Well,
why you jinxing it? Don't you realize Panther Nation? I'm not that down on. I like the kid. But don't you realize Panther Nation wants him and Shula gone? All
right. Take him.
I wonder can we do a sign and trade? Hey, Pagula, listen. We will give you, because I know I got it on good authority, good authority that Terry Pagula listens to the professor and the preacher. You know, the CIA told me. But listen, Terry, listen, we will trade you. We will give you Mike Shula, Ken Dorsey, and 5 bags of chips for Stephon Gilmore and LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
Like you take that drill?
I would like Gilmore. I ain't going to lie. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. I actually think that we're set at the corner position. I think for the first time, and I can't remember who it was that tweeted it out, but I did see it on Twitter where somebody said, for the first time in forever, we will go into the season set at corner, which we really will. So I'm actually excited about that part. Man, can you imagine if we add a nice safety?
That's what we need. Right. I think we're finally going to do it. I think that's the free agent pick this year. I bet you, if I had my money on it, I would say we sign a safety. I don't know if it's Eric Berry, but that would be nice. Or I think we're going defensive end.
I don't think it's
going
to be Berry.
In the draft. I think we're going to pick a defensive end.
And I think it's going to be in the draft. And I'll tell you the number one reason why I don't think it's going to be Berry. I don't think it's going to be Berry because I don't think it's going to be Berry because I don't know that Berry is going to pass the medical checks. And what I mean by that is we know his cancer's in remission, and that may satisfy the Kansas City doctors. But you seriously cannot – the money that Eric Berry will command – you can't in good conscience give him that type of money when we know from previous experience just how menacing and reoccurring that cancer can be.
I think we got to bring him in. I think we got to bring him in. You know why? One single reason. I say this is make Bojangles supplement his salary. And he could be Eric Boberry Biscuit.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You see, that's why I love you right there. You always trying to figure out how to make the marketing side, you know, of this thing work. See,
I got to give that one up to my boy Chip.
Yeah, like if you can get him on a contract that provides him insurance, but at the same time is team friendly. So let's say, you know, you get a year out of him, but the following year, God forbid, you have a reoccurrence where, you know, now it's to the point where he's not going to play. You know, can we get something where he doesn't have a cap number that's going to cripple us because we got to pay him to not be there? And I don't want to sound insensitive in saying that. You know, I'm speaking purely from the business side of it. I hope, you know, I hope whether we bring him in or he stays in Kansas City, I hope he stays in the best of health because the guy is a dynamic football player.
Yeah, he's amazing.
You know, and he's a dynamic guy off the field. But what I would like to see, you know, like if you're going to, like you think about it, we're talking about a team right now that would not sign if DeSean Jackson, you know, walks from Washington. We're talking about a team that will not sign DeSean Jackson because of manufactured off the field situations.
Who won't sign him? Who won't sign him?
Carolina won't sign him. Dave Gettleman will not. Listen, let me explain something to you. If you got anything that resembles a red flag on you, Jerry Richardson is not going to let Dave Gettleman pull that trigger on that unless Dave Gettleman went in there with Mother Teresa, John Paul, Pope Francis, the Dalai Lama, Deepak Chopra, and every other spiritual leader you can think of, including Benny Hinn and T.D. Jakes, and they tell Jerry Richardson, listen, this kid's okay. If you ain't get all them people in there to tell Jerry, he ain't letting nobody. Grant Cardi ruined that.
I want DeSean Jackson, and there is nothing on DeSean Jackson. Like, actually, you know what? No, I got a piece of evidence that challenges your belief in that. Daryl Worley.
Okay.
Daryl Worley got in trouble for pushing or choking or punching a girl in college. It turns out, like, that charges were dropped and all this, and they were at a bar, and she attacked him or his girlfriend or something. But there was some circumstance, and I think that DeSean Jackson's, it's so clear it was completely manufactured.
Yeah, I mean, like, did anybody, listen, I wasn't on Twitter at the time. I was on Facebook at the time. And Tony, listen to me. I had so much fun with that. Yeah, I was like, when they said that he was in a game, you of course remember the Fresh Prince, and you remember the opening credit, and you remember, you know, the story, West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spent most of my days.
But if chilling out, relaxing, matching all, playing some b-ball when I thought I was cool.
when a couple of guys, they was up to no good. But you remember that, the guy was spinning wheel around on the top of his, like, was spinning him around on top of his head.
Yeah.
I had a buddy of mine Photoshop DeSean Jackson in an Eagles helmet spinning Will Smith around. And I quit. We finally found out who it was that was bullying Will and made him move from Philadelphia to L.A.
That's right. Well done.
Now, we did a show a couple of weeks ago called Fake News. Chip Kelly was the originator of that bull. I wonder nobody likes Chip Kelly. Nobody likes Chip Kelly.
Nobody.
Name somebody you ever seen come to Chip Kelly's defense.
I don't even think people from Oregon have come to his defense.
No! No.
Kenyon Barner.
Let me show
Kenyon
you.
Kenyon Barner. Kenyon Barner is the only one that likes Chip Kelly. Because Kenyon Barner was he was from Oregon and he got cut by the Panthers or traded or something.
Traded him for like some peanuts and an old jockstrap.
But he's still on the Eagles team, and he's actually been all right. So good to Kenyon Barnett. I would love to have DeSean Jackson. But all right, before we get into that, what we're going to do in the offseason, this and that, let's talk about the most pressing. Steve Wilks addressed kind of how he says nothing's going to change. He actually diminished Sean McDermott's role a little bit, not in a mean way, but he said this is our defense, not Sean's defense, and he doesn't expect them to miss a beat. But one of the things, I guess, Panther fans and the media are looking for anything to focus in and talk about. And so the question is, who's going to be the next Steve Wilks? Who's going to be the next defensive back coach? And I got on Twitter among Panther fans, the name that is the highest on the list is Peanut Tillman. But I saw somebody else, and it was, I'm going to pull it up because they need to get credit for it. It was, I think it was Chris Sackinger who said, what about Mike Minter, who is the head coach of the Campbell Camels right now? And he could be a defensive backs coach. Who do you see? Do you see them from, what do you see happening here? It was Craig Schneider, excuse me, to him be all glory on Twitter suggested this. What do you think about those? Now, do you think Peanut Tillman would make a good defensive backs coach?
Yes, I do. Because if you remember, Peanut came to camp and worked with the rookies this year for a couple of days. On two separate occasions, he was at camp working with them. So I do believe that he would make a good, you know, I think he would make a good a good coach. My concern is his experience level in coaching.
I agree. So
I think he would make a good assistant defensive backs coach. The guy I would like to see actually take over, take over as the defensive back coach would actually be, I would like to see Perry Fuel come in and take over. Because here's the thing, Perry Fuel was a guy that we're maybe 2 years removed from Perry Fuel actually being considered a hot coaching commodity, you know, as far as a head coach, you know, like he was garnering some serious consideration. And as a matter of fact, if memory serves me correctly, he got a couple interviews, and they wasn't the Mooney Rule interviews where you in there for 5 minutes and they're like, well, thank you for coming in. Now we can go hire the guy we really want to hire. I mean, like, he really got some real interviews.
Right.
So that's, you know, so with Steve, you know, with Wilks kind of looking over, and the good thing about Leslie Frazier going with Sean McDermott is that we keep Al Holcomb. So that's a huge thing. As far as ex-Panthers, you know, being brought in, if by chance we lose our defensive line coach, Eric Washington, the name that I would like to see brought in would be Buck. You know, I would love to see Buck brought in from Arizona to take over, because I believe he's the assistant out there. I don't think he's the actual D-line coach. And to have Buck back here in Carolina, that would be huge. But then again, you know, that's an ex-Panther that actually has coaching experience. Now, the whole thing with Mentor is, would he be willing to give up a head coaching job, a comfortable head coaching job at that? Because let's be honest, Campbell, I don't think anybody down there going, hey.
Nah, they're not even FBS. They're the second level. And he actually turned around the team fairly well. You know, the Perry Fuel name is a huge name. And if you think about it, there are links here. Fuel, and do you say, is it Fuel? Is that how you say it?
It's like Fuel, like Fuel or Fuel.
Yeah,
it's pronounced Fuel.
Fuel. So he was defensive backs coach in Chicago in 2004 and 2005, and I think Rivera was there with Lovey back then.
Yeah.
All right.
Rivera was Lovey's D coordinator.
He's been defensive coordinator twice, once for the Buffalo Bills, where he got the Bills in 2008 to a second-ranked defense, and then on top of this, there's links to Dave Gettleman, Dave Gettleman was still in New York when he was hired as defensive coordinator in 2010. So there are links to Rivera. There are links to Gettleman. And to think
about, and I want to say in 2011 might have been, you know what, and you know what, maybe I'll tweet Wolf on this, but I think at one point we were about to interview Fuel for a job. Now, I don't know if we were getting ready to Rooney Rule him or if we were getting ready to give him an actual interview. But I remember he made that Giants squad. That's when that was the last time they had a decent defense.
Here's this. Up until now. Look at this. In January 3rd, 2011, reported by Pro Football Talk, Adam Schefter of ESPN reports that Cleveland and Carolina have both submitted interview requests to the Giants saying they'd like to interview Fuel for their head coaching position.
Yeah, it seems like I remember us being linked to Fuel at one time. So there is, you know, so yeah, that's history there. And like I said, it was one of those things. In the NFL, it's a year-by-year thing. And what I mean by year-by-year thing, remember folks wanted to interview Mike Shula for a job last year.
Yep, that's the dang truth. Like, serious interview him.
Yeah. Like, somebody had lost their mind.
Well, this is, the only thing that's worrisome to me with Fuel is, does he have too much credibility? And does that scare Wilkes a little bit? Also, even Rivera, you bring in a guy that's got promise and shown these types of things. I don't know. You just hate for things to go bad for these guys and then there be an in-house option of promotion. We know Rivera wouldn't do anything like that. That would have to come all the way from the top.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Wilkes. I don't see him having an issue, per se, because I think Wilkes, with what Wilkes has done, I think, to be honest with you, let's say Carolina rebounds next year. Let's say you look at a team that goes, from 6-10 to 12-4. The defense goes from middle of the pack back to top five, top four. Let's say Luke Kuechly has a defensive MVP year. Let's say the pass rush gets back. Let's say James Bradberry shows us who we believe he is.
That's a lot of let's say.
But they're all plausibles. I mean, it ain't like they're impossible let's say. But let's say that this team begins to look more like the 2016 team, rather than 16-17. If this team looks like that, I don't think that Wilkes is the defensive coordinator going into 18. I think he's a head coach somewhere else.
Wow. Well, that, yeah.
I think that I could very easily see him being the head coach in Houston in 2018.
Well, I guess that's
so
a good
point.
So I
don't think he's threatened by that. I think he was like, yo, the more people you get in here to make me look good, the better. Hey, I'm trying to come up.
I hear you. All right, so I think what we've found out tonight is that chicken wings have to have bones in them, or else you need a chicken wing. I think we've also found out that Steve Wilkes ain't no chicken.
Nope.
And third, Perry Fuel is the guy. I am sold right
Perry
now. I'm going to go write an article.
You made it through, like, yeah, listen, if your name is Perry Fuel, and you made it this long without having to kill somebody, you deserve a job as on a team somewhere. I'm just saying. The dude's name is Perry Fuel. That's a name that you just make fun of.
I like it. I like it. Fuel up.
Now, hey, there we go.
Yep, see? Marketing. Marketing.
So, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, listen, man. We gonna have to, we gonna have to talk to you. You know, I'm gonna have those people out in Los Angeles call you.
Yep, that's true.
Because that boy they pulled this week, they need to fire their whole marketing and advertising department. All of them got to go.
All right, we got to get out of here. We're 45 minutes deep. I'm Tony Dunn, a.k.a. The Professor, here with David Locklear, a.k.a. The Preacher. Tell them how they can follow you on Twitter, David.
You can follow me on Twitter at Rev Rico Speaks.
He speaks, folks. You can follow my work at @cat_chronicles. This show is brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Check out the C3 podcast every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. David, I guess we'll see him at the same
cat time, same cat channel.
Word up, man. All right. Good night, dude.
Subscribe to the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast, YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere you can catch an RSS feed. Or anywhere you can check out CarolinaChronicles.com.
Check out
CarolinaChronicles.com. Latest perspective, news, and opinions.
Great cash, homie. Great cash, homie.